Over the summer,
we have been looking at John's letters, and we come to our final message on his letters this morning from 3 John, from 3 John. So please turn in your Bibles to the third letter of John, which is towards the end of our Bibles on page 1026. You want to read your Bible, that is a good thing to do, or you can follow the reading on the screen. The third letter of John is actually in the original Greek, the shortest book in our New Testaments. So let's read together the word of the Lord from 3 John. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way, or on their journey, in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I've written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stop those who want to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God, but whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you hear that you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends each by name. And as ever, it's good to read the Bible together. God is very interested in Christians being together. He is very interested in us sharing fellowship with one another as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The theme over these summer months has been very much along the lines of fellowship. The fact that we are united in Christ, and we display that with certain characteristics in our lives. And so we come this morning to the conclusion of John's letters, which have been so much to do with fellowship, to think about the issue of us enjoying fellowship. That we can enjoy the goodness of God together in church. So what do you think about when the word fellowship is mentioned? What does it conjure up in your mind as you think about fellowship? And some people might think of just being able to sing together and have warm feelings together. Is that what fellowship is? Some people might think it's just being able to come to church together and share a church service, and then that's it. That's our fellowship. We go home. Well, what is it to have fellowship. What is Christian fellowship? Well, really, it expresses what it is to be a community together, experiencing God and serving God together. It's a community we're brought together to be for God together, to know Him together, and to serve Him together. And so although it certainly involves us coming to services, and it involves us singing together, and we can experience great things together, there's so much more involved in Feltham Evangelical Church being a fellowship. There are different images that come to display what fellowship is. So we can think about fellowship in a sense like a business relationship. Why? You might say that's surprising. Well, in a sense, we're all gathered together with a certain output desired. And that output is, as Dimitri mentioned in prayer, that the kingdom of God might be extended and furthered. And that's what we're all committed into. Or we could think about it as a military relationship. We're all soldiers of the Lord, seeking to move forward against our enemy. That's what we are as a fellowship. Or we could think of ourselves as a hospital. Feltham Evangelical Church is a hospital where we're here to care for one another, to help one another through all the batterings of life which lead to injuries of our souls. And we're a caring place, and we're also a family place. A fellowship is a family where we share as brothers and sisters the same Father, and we seek to support one another in family. So these are all issues of what it is to be in a fellowship. It's not just about church services, and that's a part of it. It's not just about sharing warm experiences, although that can be a part of it. It's a big thing. So 3 John, we got this letter which I'm presenting to us this morning about how we can enjoy fellowship, being together for God as Christians. Now, the letter of 3 John is written by John. John was one of the first great leaders of the church. He is the one referred to there as the elder. And we're in verse 1 of 3 John, as we consider that it's written by the elder, who is John the Apostle, to a man called Gaius. Lots of Gaiuses around when the New Testament was written. We can't be specific who he was, and that's not critical for our understanding this morning. We will only know that he was a good, godly man with whom John had a great bond. The letters of 2 and 3 John, we thought about 2 John last week, they have many similarities. They're both about fellowship, sharing together as God's people. 2 John is showing a fellowship which is threatened by those who come from outside. 3 John is showing a fellowship which is threatened by those who come from inside. The main theme then, as we're going to look at 3 John this morning, is that God desires that we enjoy fellowship so as to be strong and effective for Him. God desires that we enjoy fellowship so as to be strong and effective for Him. So let's go into our passage this morning. And we're going to think, first of all, of the first 8 verses. And we'll think about the blessing of fellowship. The blessing of fellowship. And what we're going to do this morning is we've got a bowl, which is fellowship, and we're going to fill up the bowl. We're going to fill up things that should be in Feltham Evangelical Church. We would have fellowship which the Lord is pleased with. Well, first of all, then, we want to think about from verse 1. What does fellowship involve? Fellowship operates in relationships. Fellowship operates through relationships. So it involves people. You can't have fellowship without people. People make the church. People make the fellowship. People relating to one another. People relating to one another in Christ. So John refers to Gaius. Notice it's beloved. Okay, Feltham Evangelical Church, there's 27 of us who are members of this church. We should be able to be thinking about this concerning everyone. There are our beloved brothers and sisters. It means those that we love. Those that we care for. Notice he says it in verse 1, in verse 2, in verse 5, and in verse 11. He says, beloved, concerning this man, Gaius. He's got a deep affection for him. He loves him in truth. Relationship is established in truth. And it flows in love. And it's all based around our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who gives God's love gift. The one who is the truth. The one who is the true way. And so we unite in this relationship with one another. In our Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing we want to think about that goes into the pot this morning is, it operates in relationships. It operates in relationships. We've got to have relationships. Second thing we want to think about is that it flourishes with good desires. It flourishes when there are good desires for one another. Some of us at times may be feeling overwhelmed with life, and we feel as though things are hard, and we're feeling physically run down. And somebody might say, you need a holiday. You need to go to the seaside. And then you go to a different environment, and in that environment you can be renewed. You can have a holiday. You can be refreshed. Many of us have had that over the summer. Well, fellowship is refreshed and renewed when there are good wishes for one another. So what does verse 2 say? What does verse 2 say? This is what John is saying concerning Gaius. Does he want bad stuff for him? Or does he want good stuff for him? He says, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Gaius is doing well in going on for the Lord. And John is pleased with that. But he just wants everything to be going well for Gaius. And he's praying for that. He's praying. He's giving thanks for the prospering of his soul. And he's praying everything good for Gaius. So, brothers and sisters, this is a second key thing for fellowship to flourish here. Is that we want the best. We want good things for one another. And then in that atmosphere, fellowship flourishes. Are you praying good things for one another, fellow members of Feltham Evangelical Church? Are you praying that there would be progress in the Lord and that life would be moving in a beneficial direction for one another? So that's the second thing then that we put in. What was the first thing? The first thing, it operates in relationships. The second thing we put into the pot is flourishes with good desires. Good desires for one another. Wanting the best for one another. And the third thing is that it is based, it is founded on lived out truth. On lived out truth. Now this is important because our coming together as a fellowship is not based upon the fact that we're all best mates. Our coming together as a fellowship is not based upon just sort of, deciding what we get along with. And if there's something we don't get along with, we'll throw that out and, you know, we'll work something out where we're a group of people and we agree that this is what's going to bind us together and we might write it down. No, we have been given the book which establishes the basis for our fellowship. It's based on truth. Gaius is a man of truth, living by the truth. So read it there. That's what it says, isn't it? There's some people who've come to John and they've said about Gaius that you're walking in the truth. End of verse 3. And John is just so pleased. He said, I've no got a greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So, we've got to have the Bible. We'll agree on that. We've got to have the Word of God. That's good. That's foundational to fellowship. But it's
I say carefully, don't misunderstand me, it's not enough in one sense. The Bible has got to be lived out. Okay? The Bible has not just got to be placed on a shelf and stored away in our minds as interesting information. It is to be taken into our hearts, that our wills would be directed to put into practice the living Word of God. And when that is happening, we are walking in the way of the truth, who is Jesus. We're walking in Christ's way. And so in a sense, Gaius is a man of Christ's way. John is a man of Christ's way. John is a man of the truth of God. Gaius is a man of the truth of God. And they're living together and John's just delighted. What delights you, fellow member of Feltham Evangelical Church, about others in the church? Does it give you a delight when you see that others are walking in the truth? It should do, you know. Should be our joy. Now we can rejoice with each other's successes, and that's fine. Passing exams, getting a good check at the hospital, all these things are fine. But our great rejoicing should be to see others walking in the truth, understanding God's word, and through the difficulties of life, continuing to walk in the truth. It's a beautiful thing, and I think we should encourage our older sisters in the church, that many of them been Christians for 50 years and they're still walking in the truth. Go and tell them how much an encouragement it is to you. Go and visit Auntie Margaret and tell her. It's great. Other older ones amongst us. So here we are. The third thing then is that the true fellowship is founded upon lived out truth. Living out the truth of God. So learn the truth, everybody. You've got to, younger ones, learn the truth. I'll just say here, one of the impressive things I experienced last weekend was this family, and they'd memorized so much of the Word of God. It was incredible. You know, not just verses, but whole books of the Bible. You know, Ephesians, Colossians, they'd memorized it all. And that just encourages to really think about getting the Word of God into our hearts. So that's lived out truth, but living it out. The fourth thing is that we need to be experiencing, fellowship is experiencing intentional love. Intentional love. There is a determination that I'm going to show love to God's people. So read in verses 5. And 6. Beloved, it's a faithful thing that you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. So people who are serving God, people who are advancing the message of God by traveling around, have turned up with Gaius. Sure where Gaius was, but they'd come. And they were needy. They needed support. Not just say, hi guys, it's great to see you. Hope things go well. They're going to need some support. They're going to be provided for the journey on from where Gaius was and also where they were. And Gaius gets involved to support them. It says, you testify to your love before the church. They've experienced love. We've said many times during this series in John's letters, love isn't about saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. Actions speak louder than words. Sometimes we've got to put our hand in our pocket. And sometimes we've got to devote our time. And sometimes we've got to give our houses. Because love, there's a determined love here to help those in need, to help those who are gospel workers in their need. People have come with a need. There's a response. A little bit like the account of the Good Samaritan. Yeah. The priest and the Levite, they just passed by for the Good Samaritan, for the man who had been attacked and harmed. But the Samaritan comes along and he says, I'm going to give some time and I'm going to give some money. I'm going to help this person. So in experiencing the fellowship of God amidst God's people, there needs to be intentional love.
Let's think about how that works out amongst us as well, brothers and sisters. Praise God for something of that happening here. But let's not just rest on our laurels. Let's be thinking about how we can be continually involved, not in our own fellowship, but also those who are around the world. So that takes us to number four, experiencing intentional love. The fifth thing is, if you go through verse 7, there's also separation involved. Why? What have these workers done? They say, we're not going with the world. We're not accepting the support of the world. They went for the sake of the Lord Jesus, and they did not accept the support of the world. They did not go seeking support from the world. They went accepting nothing from the Gentiles. They were just wanting to go in God's way. Brothers and sisters, we support God's work. We look to God to support God's work. We do not look to the world to support God's work. Okay? You understand that? The world may give us some money sometimes and we can receive that and we can do so thankfully. But we don't seek our support from the world. There is a separation. Fellowship is effective through separation. Separation from the world. Because generally when the world gives its money, it says, you've got to do it our way. And we're going to say, we're going to do it God's way. And sixthly, finally, there is a unity of purpose. There is a unity of purpose, which is in verse 8. Therefore, we ought to support people like these that we may be fellow workers for the truth. We all may not be preachers. We all may not be actively involved in the public work of God, but we can all be involved in the advancing of the cause of God. Again, as Dimitri mentioned in the prayer, for the moving forward of the gospel of God, for the extending of the purpose of God by the word of God going forward. We can pray. We can put in our money. We can write our letters. We can all be involved. We have a unity of purpose at Feltham Evangelical Church. That unity of purpose is that God would be made known in Christ Jesus by the Spirit. That's our unity of purpose here. Okay? That's our unity of purpose. That God would be made known through Christ Jesus by the Spirit. That's what we're set on. That's our purpose. So let's be thinking. And we can be sharing with others about that. And we might be people we've spoken to at work about the gospel. We'll share with others to pray with you. And we can be all together in this unity of purpose. Get involved with the meeting planned on the 12th of October. Love thy neighbour. We're thinking about wanting to reach out to our neighbours. And there'll be a gathering together here. Speak to Mark about it. But this is all about us having a unity of purpose to make known the great gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and see people encountering the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is what we are about. So please take this. There's leaflets in the entrance hall. Please take them as we want to be unified in this purpose of making God known, seeing him made known. So that's the final one. That's number 8. We have to have a unity of purpose. That's number 6. So 6 things go in, and we might say, verses 1 to 8, that's great, isn't it? That's wonderful. And we think, Feltham Evangelical Church like that. And then you go to verse 9 and our heart starts to drop. And it drops a bit further in verses 10 and 11. So let's see the difficulty. Let's see the difficulty. Verses 9 and 10, not verse 11, actually verses 9 and 10. Let's see the difficulty. So we've seen the blessing of fellowship. Let's see the difficulty. You've got a man called Diotrephes. You've got a man called Diotrephes. Can I just say, brothers and sisters, there's this general principle of God's dealings that if there is progress being made in a situation, there's somebody who's not happy. Satan is not happy. Okay? And so when there is progress in a situation, generally he's going to come against that progress to create difficulty and disruption. That is just a general principle. Well, let's see the difficulty here. There, it's in verses 9 and 10. It focuses on a man, and generally it does. Pretty well always, it is people who are used by Satan to bring disruption and difficulty amongst God's people.
There's this man called Diotrephes. What's his problem? Pride, fundamentally, isn't it? He puts himself first, and he does not acknowledge the authority of the apostles. The apostles were the ones established at the beginning of the church with the authority to represent the Lord Jesus and to see the church established. We don't have apostles now, but we have the Word of God now, which is the established authority. And so John and his apostles were rejected by Diotrephes. So here's a man, he's proud, he rejects authority, he wants to just simply go in his own way. And then we read in verse 10, John is going to take action when he comes. I'll bring up what he's doing, and what is he doing? He's talking wicked nonsense. He's talking rubbish, and he's talking wicked rubbish. Generally, when we start to get stuff out of here and nowhere else, sooner or later, we're going to be talking rubbish. And wicked rubbish won't be too far along the road. Don't rely upon what's in here. Rely upon what's in here to come in here. And then we'll be going in the right direction. Okay? We rely upon the Bible, not upon our thoughts. He's making lots of noise. And he's a wicked, talking wicked nonsense. As my mother would have said to me many years ago, empty cans make most noise. And Diotrephes was an empty can, making a lot of noise. And he's talking nonsense, and then he won't receive the people who are bringing the message of God. But more than that, he stops those who want to receive the messengers of God, and he throws them out. Okay? So that's this man, Diotrephes. How this is all working together, I'm not fully sure. It's not absolutely clear, but it seems likely that Gaius was in the same church as Diotrephes. And it's a very difficult situation to be in. Diotrephes was what? He's a fellowship killer. He's a fellowship killer. And I think we need to stop there. This is not easy to stop here. But I want us just to think, are we fellowship killers? Are you a fellowship killer? Are you a Diotrephes-like character? Filled with your own self-importance. Not willing to submit to authority. Shouting off your own mind about this, that and the other, which is not according to the word of God. And just disrupting the people who want to serve God. Are you Let's not be too easy here. We can all go in Diotrephes' ways. And we want to reject Diotrephes' ways because Diotrephes kills fellowship. And so you just run through a few of these things. Fellowship operates in relationships. Diotrephes, he didn't want healthy relationships, is it? So fellowship's gone there, hasn't it? And number two, we'll see, what is this one? Flourishes with good desires. Any good desires with Diotrephes? No, fellowship gone again, isn't it? Number three, it's founded on lived out truth. Much of that with Diotrephes? Not at all. He didn't want the truth. And then four, what's number four? It's about love. Experienced in intentional love. What would we say about Diotrephes? Intentional hate, I think. And number five, then we see, what do we see with number five? We see it's true separation from evil. What about Diotrephes? He loved to embrace evil, didn't he? And finally, there's a unity of purpose. Has he got any unity of purpose with the gospel of God? None at all. So Diotrephes has emptied our bowl. No fellowship with our Diotrephes around, is it? So what do we do? That's the question now. That's the question now. What do we do? Throw our arms up in despair and say, it's all useless, it's all hopeless. The church is falling apart and we got a Diotrephes here. That's it. That's the end of it all. Nothing's going to happen around here. Counsel of despair. What does John say? What does John say? John says, first of all, he says this. He implies this. John himself is going to come along and seek to sort the matter out. Okay? John is going to turn up. He is the one in that time who has authority. Okay? So he is the one who will come to the church and sort things out. So Gaius, you be aware of that. John is going to come and sort things out. Now, in the church situation as it is at the moment, elders are given to the church to take responsibility for the resolving of the issues that necessarily threaten the fellowship of the church. Feltham Evangelical Church has recognized elders. There are two elders in the church at the moment. They have the responsibility for intervening in order to make sure the resolution of issues which are threatening the fellowship of the church. So we support the elders. We pray for the elders. If there are issues that we are aware of, we can tell them. And just to say, we need elders, more elders as a church, but we need to be careful who we recognize as elders. We need men who are trustworthy, who we can trust to resolve those issues and get involved. That is the proper order of things. The second thing we need to be aware of, though, is Gaius, you've got to go on and still enjoy fellowship. You've got to go on and still enjoy fellowship. Don't just give up in despair. Don't just say everything's fallen apart. Many years ago, Bob and myself have known each other probably for 15 years. But towards the beginning of that relationship, Bob said one of the most helpful things that's probably been said to me in the context of church life. And he said, amidst all the issues of church life, with all the difficulties and all the concerns of things, he said, we've got to enjoy things. We've got to enjoy things. We've got to enjoy things. Now, some of you may come along this morning and you think, oh, if only that person wasn't in the church. Or you might think, if only that person didn't do that. Or if only that person did do that. Or, oh, those people never come to that. And these people don't do this. And if only that person didn't just speak in that way, then fellowship would be wonderful. And Satan starts to take a hold and we get all miserable and we get all fed up with church because things are not going the way we want and arrangements and Satan eats at us and everything collapses. And God is saying now, as we come to the final part of our passage, enjoy fellowship. You may have a Diotrephes there. And Diotrephes is not to be excused for all of his evil ways, but still, we've got to commit ourselves to enjoying fellowship. So let's see how things start to piece together then. So basically the response is, get going with enjoying fellowship again. So the first one is separation. Separation. Do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Separate yourself from evil. Okay? Gaius, I know you've got Diotrephes there and he's a problem, but you have got to separate yourself from evil. Don't go in evil ways. Go in good ways. So we start to fill our pot again, won't we? Effective through separation. So we got some fellowship starting to appear again. And then the second one, as we start to build up, is there's a unity of purpose. There's a celebration of what is good. A celebration of good things there in verse 11. Do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. And so we want to unite with that which is good and reject that which is evil. Our unity of purpose is going with that which is good. How do we know what is good? What is from God in the Bible is good. And so we go in that way. Number three then, it's founded on lived out truth. We have a man, Demetrius, and he is a lived out truth man. Well, Gaius and Demetrius are going to get on well together, don't you think? Yeah, their hearts tick together. And find others in the church. You may think, oh, I'm fed up with all these people. Well, you know, you may just be able to find one and two and more and your hearts are ticking together because you're both wanting to walk in the truth. You see, Demetrius has got a testimony in three directions. The people
They give him a good testimony. The truth, that gives him a good testimony. It's as if you get the Bible and match it against Demetrius's life. You say, oh yeah, he's matching up well. Would that be true of you? And also John, he comes in as well. He says, I agree with all that. Demetrius is a good man. He's a man who's living out the truth. And so we see more of the fellowship coming together. Here we are. It's about founded on lived out truth. And so fellowship, it's not an easy situation for Gaius, but he can start to experience fellowship. And then we see, as we drop down to verses 13 through to 15, we see there is a love here. There is a desire. John here is showing his love. He says, I've got much to write, but I want to come and see you so as we can experience good things together. And so there is a love that's appearing again as John is showing it towards Gaius, experienced in intentional love there, as we see in verse 13. And then verse 15, it flourishes where there is a desire for the best for others. Verse 15, peace to you. The idea is everything peaceful, everything that makes you whole, everything that makes you well, may that be with you. And then you've got this fellowship. If somebody is wanting peace throughout the church, wanting blessing throughout the church, then fellowship will be moving forward. And so we see there is a flurry. Fellowship flourishes when there is good desires. And finally, fellowship is between people. We see at the end of verse 15, the friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Fellowship is with people who are real people, who have real names and actually exist. They're not just fellowship with people who are artificial. These are real people, real names. And there is fellowship established with them. There's greetings, there's warmth, there's some friends here. Can't call Diotrephes a friend, but you can seek to have friendship even with others outside the church to help you forward. And so we have the fellowship has come together again. It operates in relationships. And so we got a bowl full again. And it's not easy, Gaius, because you've got Diotrephes there and all of those difficulties. And every church has its difficulties and disruptions. And Feltham Evangelical Church is included. But what are we going to do as we move forward? Give up or go on? As Paul would say in Philippians in chapter 1, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Doing everything. I'll speak to myself. Philip, what are you doing to fill the bowl of fellowship at Feltham Evangelical Church? To those of you who are Christians and not yet members of the church, then you know what you've got to think about. You're outside of the fellowship in one sense. But what are you doing? What am I doing to fill the bowl? There might be an overflowing bowl of fellowship in the Lord at Feltham Evangelical Church. And that would be good. And that would be for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing our final hymn. That in Christ alone, everything good, wholesome, valuable, essential for fellowship is found.